Glad you are here with us this morning. Is this a joyful Sunday or what? Yeah, yeah. You know, I wish I could say we had 30 or so people join every Sunday, but I would be lying in church, and I don't want to do that. So, but we are glad that you are here. If you're visiting with us this morning, it may be your first visit. It may be you've been here a few times, but we still don't know who you are. We have a blue card that's in the seat in front of you. Invite you to fill that out. If you don't mind us knowing who you are, we would love to know that. And there's a box you can check there if you would like to be on our email list, which lets you know things coming up. We've got Turkey Tuesday coming up Tuesday. Hope you can come be a part of that. We'll meet here at the church. If you want to carpool over, you can meet at the church at 3:30 on Tuesday. Or you can meet us over there. It's at North 8th and Carver at 4 o'clock. And we'll be done by 5, and you can be on your way. But that's a great time, and just a joy to pass out those turkeys to that entire neighborhood, and they are always looking forward to us coming. So hope you'll come and be a part of that. We've got the Christmas workshop coming up. You'll be getting all these details. Christmas party, all church Christmas dinner party coming up. Did you enjoy the kids this morning? That's awesome. Somebody, some rude person sitting right behind me a while ago said that I didn't need to preach today because the kids, I won't mention their name, but their initials were Lori Freimeyer. The truth hurts. You're right. It does. Man, I love watching those kids. What a blessing. What a blessing. Turn with me, if you would, to chapter 8 of Acts. Chapter Acts. You never didn't know there was a chapter Acts, did you? Chapter 8 of the book of Acts. If you have not read through the book of Acts before, boy, I really encourage you to do that, because that's the history of our church. When Christ was crucified and resurrected, and he spent 40 days on the earth teaching and so on and so forth, and he was ascended into heaven, and he sent his Holy Spirit on Pentecost, which is Acts chapter 2, and the church exploded, and things began to happen. So this is part of that early church that we are reading about in Acts chapter 8. I'm going to pick it up in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south on the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So we see that this was a man that was obviously someone who worshiped God, but didn't understand about the Christ. On his way home, he was sitting in a chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, there's that Holy Spirit again leading the church, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And these are the words from Isaiah. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Phil asked. How can I, he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture from the Old Testament. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And that comes out of Isaiah. I believe it's chapter 43. I'm not positive about that. I think it's 43. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. As we just sang, you are welcome here. We know that you're already here. We ask that you would speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. roughly 27, 28 years ago, we found out that someone in our family was pregnant. I'll show you a little picture here. We were trying to decide. This is about 7.5 months into it. We're trying to decide who the pregnant one was. Unfortunately, Cheryl's 7.5 months pregnant there, and unfortunately, my dad and I have bigger stomachs than she did. That's pretty pathetic, isn't it? But look at all that hair. Will you look at that? Of course, the two children that I had is why my hair fell out. But anyway, that's another sermon. If you've had children, you understand just the pride that begins to well up in you when you find out that you're going to have this child. Just, you know, that child doesn't have to be good or do anything for you. It doesn't have to serve you in any way. You just the fact that the child is yours, there's something inside of us that wells up that's just a deep pride and gratitude. And a thanksgiving for our week that we're in right now. It's just a thanksgiving for the child that is yours, that belongs to you. We're going to continue the sermon series today, conclude the sermon series, Covenant Keepers. And today's title is God's Mark on You. Did you know that through baptism, that baptism is a sign of the covenant that we belong to Jesus? Did you know that? And did you know that he looks upon us, his children, the same way that same pride that we look upon our child? Kirby had not been born. I mean, she was still cooking, as I say. And there was just something in Cheryl and I and extended family and so forth. There was just this excitement and this enthusiasm and this pride that she's ours. And then when they're born and you see them up here singing, any were there any parents or grandparents in here this morning proud of their little one? I know there were some of you. I was looking around. Some of you, you know, it was pretty disgusting. You were pretty pathetic, you know, the just kind of gushing. No, it was great. It was great. But there's something about it. It's like that's my boy, that's my girl, and there's just that's how God feels about us. Did you know that? If you know that, shake your head like this. If you know that, God treasures us. We're His. He's excited when we're going to be doing some baptisms today. He's excited about that. Did you know that? He's excited. It says that in heaven the angels rejoice when repentant sinners come to Him. He's excited about that. Baptism is God's mark on us, His seal on us that says, this one belongs to me. We're giving these away, so I'm not promoting these to anything, but these books out here on the two welcome centers, you're welcome to take as many of those as you like, and I have those because they answer some of our questions about different things. And one of the things that's addressed in this book is baptism. So I just kind of want to draw you to that, to bring your attention to that. I'm going to talk about some of this today in the sermon, but I covered a lot of ground in this book. On page 32 and on page 22, I talk about baptism. And let me just run over some of the questions that are in here. What is the meaning of baptism? Why be baptized? Who should be baptized? What form of baptism is best? We're going to talk about that a little bit. When should I be baptized? What is the meaning of infant baptism? Can family and friends be baptized together? What do I do if I want to be baptized here? The main thing is just tell me, and we'll talk and we'll visit about that. But this morning, before I kind of get into the text of what we're going to cover about this passage today in the sermon, I want to just kind of give you kind of a baptism 101 here. We're going to be doing a lot of different things this morning. We're going to be baptizing an infant through sprinkling. We are going to be confirming a baptism that was done for someone as a child, and we're going to be doing three, I think so, three immersions back in our baptistry back here. So you're gonna see a lot of different things this morning. If you don't come from the Methodist tradition or a tradition similar to ours, some of these may be a little foreign to you. So I want to just kind of take a second. The infant baptism, and I always say this when I do an infant baptism, one of the misunderstood things about the United Methodist doctrine, the theology, is that we say that that's a moment of salvation for the child. That's not correct. It's not correct. There still has to, that child will grow up and still has to come to a place of repentance and a place of receiving Christ as their Lord and Savior and laying down their sins and asking the Lord to come and live inside of them. The infant baptism goes back to the Old Testament, the sign of the Old Covenant. And I preached about this a couple of weeks ago. If you want more of this, go back in the series and you can find this. But the Old Testament sign of the covenant was the sign of circumcision. And they were supposed to bring the male child when they were very little and have them circumcised. And that was God's sign of the covenant. And basically said, this one belongs to me. Now, in the Old Testament, that child still had to grow up obeying the law. Okay? So the way that they were faithful to the covenant was obeying the law. For once Christ came, the new sign of the new covenant is baptism. Now, the way we come to that is through faith. And that leads me to my first point here. Number one, baptism does not save you. Faith in Christ does. There's nothing magical about this water. We didn't dip this out of the Jordan and have it shipped over here this morning that we're going to baptize with. It came out of our city water supply. It's just water. There's nothing magical about the water, but there is something magical in the faith of Jesus Christ. There's something supernatural that takes place when we repent of our sin and we were baptized and we receive the Holy Spirit. There is something supernatural that happens in that. Baptism does not save us. Faith in Christ does. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." By grace you've been saved through faith. So it's not the water. It's not, just like, oh, well, have you been baptized? Yeah, okay, you're good to go. No, we've got to repent of our sin and call on the name of Jesus. And through faith in the blood of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus, we are saved. Now, you've heard me talk about this before. And I don't, if you disagree with me on some of this stuff, it's okay. It's okay, and we can open the Lord's Word together, and we can explore it together, but here's the way I read Scripture. When Jesus was, some people say, well, you can't be baptized. I mean, you can't be saved if you're not baptized, and so on and so forth. Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's got a repentant thief, and he's got a non-repentant thief. One is cursing him, and the other is asking for mercy. And Jesus didn't say, golly, if we just weren't hanging up here on these crosses, if I could get down and get to some water, you'd be good to go. No, what he said was, today you will be with me in paradise. So there's this moment where Jesus was not hung up on the theology of, oh, no, you've got to do it this way. No, he saw someone that came to him with a repentant heart, and he received him. Now, with that said, Jesus does tell us to be baptized. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'll come back to that point. So the second thing is, baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. Baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. Now, faith unites us to Christ. Baptism symbolizes the union. Is that making sense? Nod your head if you're still awake and you agree with that. Okay, now, when Cheryl and I, 34 and a half years ago, when we stood before our family and our friends and our pastor and God himself, and we stated vows to one another, it was the vows that we came into covenant with one another that created, that united us. But I wear this. I wear this if I can get it off. This my fat finger. I wear this every day. I feel really, I only take it off at night when I sleep, and I don't even really know why I do that, or if I'm working and I don't want to ruin it or something, but this is a symbol of the covenant that Cheryl and I have. It reminds me of the covenant that Cheryl and I share together. It's not the covenant. I mean, if I didn't wear this ring, the covenant would still be in place, but it reminds me of the covenant. It is a symbol of the covenant. And you'll hear pastors talk about that at wedding ceremonies. You know, the ring is a sign of the covenant that you've shared today, and so on and so forth. That's what he's talking about. Baptism symbolizes our union with Christ. Now, Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to read just a couple of verses here. I think I put this in your notes, but there's more there than I'm going to spend time with this morning. But he talks about this, how the circumcision of the flesh that the nation of Israel had been accustomed to, and how now there was something different that was no longer necessary to have the covenant of circumcision. Listen to verse 11 of chapter 2. In him you were also circumcised. Speaking of Jesus. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. Not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. You see, Christ circumcises our heart. The blood of Christ circumcises our heart, and baptism is a sign of that. Having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. So baptism is a symbol. Now, that each one of the different forms, there's three forms of baptism that the United Methodist Church recognizes. Some denominations will only recognize one of these, but we recognize all three of these, and they are sprinkling, where water is put on top of that. Now, if I sprinkle you, get ready because you're going to get wet, okay? I don't do this I don't flick my fingers on you. You know you've been wet when I sprinkle you. And then there's pouring, where you would put your head over a basin and you would pour out of a pitcher onto your head, and that's called pouring, and then immersion, where you go under the water. Each one of them, and a lot of this is covered in the book, each one of them has symbolism, and that's what we're talking about here. It's a symbol of what Christ has already done in our heart. Each one of them has symbolism. The sprinkling symbolizes the sprinkling of the blood of Christ that purifies our heart. The pouring is how our sins are washed. It symbolizes how our sins are washed away through the blood of Christ. Immersion, the symbolism of immersion is when we go down in the water, that you're going down death to our sin, and when you raise back up life in Christ. So you're participating in the death and the resurrection of Christ. And so there's symbolism, great, rich symbolism to each one of those. Okay, the third point I want us to talk about, baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Only faith in Christ does, and it's just a symbol. But baptism is commanded, not suggested, but it's commanded by Jesus. Jesus didn't say, oh, this would be a pretty good idea. If you get an opportunity, you might want to do this. But no, Jesus said, do it. He himself set the example for us in Matthew 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized for John. I want to ask you something. Was Jesus being washed of his sins? He had no sin. So why is he being baptized? That's odd. Then Jesus came from the Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him. Hear that? Even John knew. What are you? I mean, I can just see John going, what? What are you doing here? What? I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Don't you love that? Jesus himself set us the example of being baptized. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Now, so there it is. In Jesus' case, there was not repentance of sin because there was no sin. But he's baptized, and the Spirit of God comes. Baptism, Spirit of God moves. He comes. And then we know this is the Great Commission, Matthew 28. If you don't know where this is, just one of the verses that you really need, just know where it is. Matthew 28. It's the last chapter of Matthew, the Great Commission. This is what Christ has told us, the church, to do. Then Jesus came to them. Now, this is right after Jesus has been resurrected, and it and they go to this mountain that he's told them about in Galilee, and it says there they worshiped him. Why did they worship him? Because he's God. Because just 3 days earlier, they had seen him dead. They had seen a lifeless body coming off the cross and placed in a tomb. The ladies had anointed his body. This lifeless Jesus goes in the tomb. 3 days later, he's having breakfast on the shore with them. I believe they might want to worship him. So they've just come from the mountain, and here's Jesus' words to them. He came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So that's important, because the next word is therefore. What do you do when you see the word therefore, somebody? You go back and see why it's there for. Don't you love my intelligence? Well, anytime you see therefore in the church, in the Bible, it's referring to something, a fact, okay? Because of this, therefore, something else, okay? So what he's saying is, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, and you're my disciples. Therefore, since I have all authority on heaven and earth, and because you are in me and I'm in you, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking. That prayer had never been prayed like that before. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus was saying, I'm God. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So this, I don't know where some people, some churches and pastors will have this theology that miracles don't happen anymore, that once the original apostles died, you know, all that stuff died with them and all, and I'm just going, are you kidding me? Really? Jesus is, he's not saying, until all of you die, until all of you 11 die, go make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. No, to the very end of the age, and none of those 11 are still walking the earth today. Well, who's he talking to? You and I. Go make disciples. Baptize them. Teach them. To the very end of the age. He's commanded us to do this. And finally, so if we believe that, if we believe this, what's a believer to do? Fourth point, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. I was talking about it earlier, the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. I love it, the disciples are sitting around having a prayer meeting. They didn't know what to do. Jesus said, wait here until who I have promised to you comes. And so they're just sitting around, you know, they have an election. They elect a replacement for Judas. And they're sitting around and the Holy Spirit comes. And suddenly the church exploded. Things started happening. And Peter gets up and he preaches the first sermon and he's giving them the gospel. And this is the end of that sermon. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? There's the question. If we're convicted and we're sinners, I remember that moment for myself. I remember that moment when I felt like the Lord said, because I was, Jeff, in my heart, he said, Jeff, you're a wretched man. You got sin all over you. I felt it. I knew it. It was as if, you ever played with black lights when you were a kid? Our youth have what they call blackout worship or light, isn't that what you call it? No. Whiteout worship. And they all wear white and they turn the light, they've got black lights up there and they worship and all you can see is, you know, just teeth, you know, teeth. But you ever know when things you can't see, lint on your sleeve, you can't see when the black light comes on and the lights go off, suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, I got stuff all over me. That's the way it was for me. I came to that moment when I was just like, I'm undone before you, God. Well, the question they asked that day was, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say you might, if you're good, if you do it just right. Repent. So repent, be baptized, and you receive the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, talking to the people that he was preaching to, your children, and that even kind of goes into the infant baptism. That's a whole different sermon. And for all who are far off, and for all whom the Lord our God will call. He's talking about us. Repent, be baptized, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just to kind of recap, baptism does not save us, nor is it just this legalistic response to the traditions of the church. You know, I've confessed this before, but when I was growing up, Mom and Dad were solid, good Christians people, and they taught me those things. And I just missed it. I just thought it was about being good, that the Christian walk and the Christian journey was just about being good. It's not about that at all. It's about repenting and coming to faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then walk out, be his ambassador. It's not a legalistic response. Baptism is not a legalistic response to the traditions of the church. It's a faithful response to the command of Jesus. It's a faithful response to the commands of Jesus. It's a sign of the union we have with Christ through his sacrificial death and resurrection. I just want to encourage you, if you're not in Christ, perhaps you have been a believer for many years and you just never really had the opportunity to be baptized. I just want to encourage you to do that. Jesus said to. Now, we can go crazy with that, with all of our legalistic theology and all this junk, you know. It just drives me nuts. But I was called by, a few years ago, I was called by someone that was working with a hospice patient, and they had an elderly woman that was bedridden on her last hours for sure. I mean, days, but if not hours, of life. And this person wanted to be baptized. And this chaplain wouldn't do it because he couldn't get her out of bed into a tank. I'm just telling you. And so she called me and said, would you come and baptize this lady? She's wanting to be baptized. And I guess this other pastor was like, it's okay for you to go to hell, but, to me, it's like, you can go to hell for doing it, but I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, I consider that was an honor and a privilege for me to go over there and baptize this lady, this little lady that couldn't even barely lift her head up. And I think it was the next day she passed away. We can get so caught up in all of this, you're not doing something right, or no, this is what you do. And Jesus just said, just do it. Just be baptized. Just repent and be baptized. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you, if you've never done that, to be obedient to Christ. He's calling us to do that. If you have the ability to walk forward, and if I have to come to you in bed to do it, I'll baptize you. If you can't lift your head out of the bed like that little lady, I'll come to you. And he's telling us, he's told us to be baptized. And perhaps you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You haven't done any of it. What a great day to do that. What a great day to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to close us in prayer, and then I'll tell you where we go from there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of baptism, where we are united with you in your sacrificial death and resurrection. I thank you for picking us out and saying, this one belongs to me. for taking us as your very own. What a humbling thing that is, Lord. I pray that your Spirit would move on all that are here this morning. If there's anyone that needs to do anything, make any sort of decision, Father, I pray that you'd move in power through your Spirit. Convict our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Natalie and Walt, are you here? Come on up, guys. Now, because I know I can get away with this with you two, I'm going to give you the business. Is it okay? Natalie and Walt are in our community group. So, yeah. So, we know our community group is supposed to start at 6. We know it starts about 6:25 when Walt gets there. All right? I don't know what I was thinking putting the new members at the front of the service this morning. What was I thinking, man? Dang. I wasn't thinking. That's exactly right. You're used to that, too. All right. Walt and Natalie are a precious couple that come to us this morning, and we love these guys. And you come to join the church, but you're also coming to do that baptism, to make a profession of faith in Christ and to be baptized. I asked the others earlier. I'm going to ask you now. This one's just for you, and then the other question will be for both of you. So, Natalie, do you repent of your sins? And do you wish to receive the forgiveness of Christ for those sins?
I do.
You wish to receive him in your heart as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
And you wish to be baptized in that faith?
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Yes. Yes. And Walt has already made that decision and been baptized. And so I ask y'all, as I receive both of y'all into membership of our church, will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. You want to go change? Go change, and we'll baptize you in a minute. Sorry for the grief, bud.
It is okay.
Yeah. You know, I know who I can get away with it with and who I can't, so it's a gift. What can I say? All right, so let me get my cheat sheet out here. We've got some baptisms and confirmations that we're going to do this morning. So, I want to ask someone to bring little Winston Jr. up. Did they go to get him?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to do an infant baptism. And remember, that's not a moment of salvation for little Winston. It's going to be where mom and dad bring him forward and say, this one belongs to God. There will still come a day for Winston to profess his own faith in Christ. And Kelsey, if I can just have you one more time to confirm, you still back there? Come on up, Kelsey. There's lots of people. Yeah, Mom, you come with her. Danny? She's getting dressed. Okay, we've got three immersions, and they're back there getting dressed. Okay. So Winston and Kelsey, I want to do you guys first. Hi, kids. Y'all sang so pretty this morning. Come on up, Kelsey. Is Mom come with you? No? Okay. All right. I asked you the questions earlier, and you've answered those questions, so I just want to have a prayer of confirmation over you. Kelsey was baptized when she was an infant, and so this morning she professed her faith in Christ, and so I just want to pray over her as she makes that, confirms what was done for her as a child. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that you died for Kelsey. I thank you that she has said yes to you. I thank you for Mom, and I just pray blessings on this family, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come, would fill Kelsey, and she would be empowered to live her life to bring glory to you. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys. Amen. Is Winston still coming?
He's right there.
All right. Come on. He was hiding over there. Come on up, Mom and Dad. Now we baptized almost the whole family a few weeks ago, but we're going to do an infant baptism on Mr. Jr. here. Hi, buddy. You got five for me this morning? No? Nope? Okay. Kids are very discerning, right? Can I put a little bit of water up here on your head? Is that okay? All right. Winston, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, fill this little guy, and just as he grows up, may he know that you love him, and may he come to faith in you, in Jesus' name. And I also pray for mom and dad that they would provide the home that you have equipped for them to have, God, that they would be strengthened by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. All right. Now I'm going to go around back. So if you see somebody back there, it'll be me, okay? I'll have you stand right down there.
Oh, it's warm. Thank goodness.
Yeah, Billy wanted to put ice in it, but I told him to run the heater instead. Natalie, if you've already professed your faith in Christ and you've asked to be baptized, if you'll sit down right there, and if you'll hold your nose, I'm gonna do it.
Okay.
Natalie, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there for just a second where it's warm. Walt, do you want to come up here? Anybody else? Community group? Anybody else want to come up here while I pray for her? No, you come on up, man. Come on. Yeah, just don't jump in. No cannonballs, man. If y'all can reach in there and just put a hand on the shoulder or the top of her head, and we're going to pray. Father, we thank you that Natalie has said yes to you. You have said yes to her long ago. I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit. Father, we come, as you have said, in repentance and to be baptized and filled with your Spirit. So fill her with your Spirit and empower her to be the hands and feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, there should be some towels right out there, and I think Danny's next. All right, Danny, I think you're up, girl. All right. You've already professed your faith in Christ and asked to be baptized, so we're going to... Everybody here that needs to be here? All right. All right, if you'll hold your nose so you don't get... Okay, girl. It'll wash out your head for you. All right. Danny, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Stay right there. Anybody wants to come up for a prayer for Danny? Can y'all get in there? Did it wash out your sinuses? Awesome. You got a lot of people who love you too, Danny. God, thank you for saying that Danny has said yes to you. I thank you for a family that loves her and has led her to Christ. I pray, God, that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, empower her to be the hands and feet of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Kenley. All right, if you'll sit down, we'll wait. We got anybody else coming? Brothers? Brothers, can you see? You can come up here, big guys, if you want to see. Awesome. The whole family. Kenley, you have professed your faith in Christ and repented of your sin and asked to be baptized. So I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. We're going to pray for you. Anybody wants to come pray for Kenley? What do you think, brothers? Pretty cool? Awesome. All right, here we go. Lord, thank you for Kenley. I thank you that she has said yes to you. I pray that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit and that she would become the young lady you've called her to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.